President Washit, distinguished members of the board, my fellow faculty and staff, beloved parents and friends of the college, dear students, welcome to the matriculation ceremony for Wyoming Catholic College's graduating class of 2029. What does matriculation mean? The Latin word matricula is the diminutive form of the Latin word matrix. So a matricula is a little matrix. In its earliest meaning, the Latin word matrix means mother. Later, matrix came to mean a list or a public register, but still later it came to mean a womb, as in a mother's womb. Freshmen, in just a few minutes, you will sign your names in this leather book, this matricula, this public register, this little womb. With your signature, you will be inserting yourself formally into the womb of your new mother, Wyoming Catholic College. So because this matriculation is about you having a new mother, the college, I'll begin these thoughts by reflecting on what it means to be a newborn child. And to reflect on what it means to be a newborn child, I'll begin by considering the newborn offspring of a different animal species. Let's begin with Africa's common or blue wildebeest. My children begged me to do a David Attenborough impression here, but I don't think I can pull it off. Each year, about 500,000 blue wildebeest are born in the grassy plains of East Central Africa's Serengeti ecosystem. The Serengeti is quite possibly the most dangerous and predator-rich environment on Earth, particularly during the wildebeest's short calving season. To survive, the young wildebeest must outwit or outrun lions, hyenas, African wild dogs, cheetahs, leopards, jackals, servals, bat-eared foxes, and crocodiles. Only one wildebeest calf in 10 will survive. No, it isn't easy to be a newborn wildebeest. There's so many ravenous predators prowling about. How could any young wildebeest survive? Well, nature has given the wildebeest a marvelous power. A newly born wildebeest will typically stand and begin to walk in less than 5 minutes after birth. Within the first half hour, the first hour of birth, the wildebeest will run with the herd. Within its first day, our new wildebeest friend will run as fast as 50 miles per hour. And running 50 miles per hour is why any wildebeest can survive at all. Now, dear freshmen, you are not wildebeests. You are human beings. How do you compare? A newborn human will not stand within 5 minutes. It will not run the first day. On average, humans won't walk for 12 months. No human has ever run 30 miles per hour, even for a few paces, let alone 50 miles per hour. No, a newborn human is completely helpless for well over a year. We do not run from predators. We do not defend ourselves. We do not feed ourselves. We cannot sufficiently regulate our own body temperatures. We are born essentially blind and can scarcely communicate. But do you suppose that we were born poorly equipped for our own survival? Wildebeest have been given the power to run because that is how they survive. What inborn power, what instinct or impulse do we humans have which make it possible for us to survive? The human power is not to run. The human power is to pay attention. Human beings can pay attention. And this is not what wildebeests do. Many animals will imprint on their mother, which is a scientific, which is scientific jargon, meaning that these animals will follow the first moving thing they see. If you are the first thing a hatchling duck sees, it will follow you around. Likewise, a young wildebeest will follow its mother in the herd, but it can never pay attention to her. The wildebeest has little need and little capacity to pay attention, and so it has little capacity to learn. The wildebeest does not learn to run any more than it learns to someday weigh 600 pounds. If I were to deliver a wildebeest to catch it right at the moment of its birth, I might trick it into following me around, but I could never persuade it to speak passably good English. What about the newborn child? Now, you might be thinking, especially if you have siblings, it doesn't seem like newborn children always pay attention. And you'd be right. But nature has solved this problem for us in a marvelous way. How so? Nature has made us completely and utterly dependent on someone else, our mother. Our newborn helplessness does not make us weak. Far from it. Our newborn helplessness has made us the kings of the earth. It is the hidden key to our incomparable success. And this is all because we cannot run off. We are stuck with our mothers. Our frail nature compels us to pay attention to her, whether we want to or not. Perhaps we don't want to pay attention. Nature knows this. So nature has made us weak for many years. And you can see that nature usually gets her way. If our mother speaks English, we will speak English. If she speaks Chinese, we will speak Chinese. If she survives in the Sahara or the Amazon or the Arctic Circle, chances are that we will learn to survive in these places. We are born knowing nothing, but we must pay attention, and so we can learn almost anything. A human being who cannot pay attention is like a wildebeest who cannot run. The person who can pay no attention is doomed. Students, the only thing I ask of you is that you pay attention. Now, you might say, fine. Paying attention is all well and good. Thank heavens we aren't wildebeest, born into that savage wilderness, swarming with lions, hyenas, jackals, crocodiles. Don't you know? We now all are born into that land. Our Serengeti is called the Internet, and it teems with just as many beasts looking to devour us. Google, Wikipedia, Facebook, ChatGPT, Chess.com, Reddit, Zillow, Fox News, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, Amazon, The Daily Wire, LinkedIn, there are countless more. No doubt each one of us has our own personalized Serengeti. They don't want to hurt you, but they do want your attention. Yes, I know very well, Dr. Bolin, that I sound like a crotchety old grump. And I am okay with that. I have been a crotchety old grump all of my life. But hear me out. I am not saying the internet is simply bad. That is a ridiculous and a false position. I'll return to that in a moment, but remember for now I am talking about our power of attention. The apex predators of our attention seem to be streaming video and social media. Consider Meta, the parent company of Instagram and Facebook. Meta is spending hundreds of billions of dollars right now on artificial intelligence. And they are spending this money because they are convinced that this investment will result in them making even more money. Perhaps you're thinking, how can that be? I've never given Instagram a dime. I'm not going to pay them anything more if they improve their artificial intelligence chatbots. But Meta makes money to the extent that Meta captures our attention. They sell our attention, which of course is what we normally call advertising. There's nothing particularly nefarious about that. The problem isn't so much that they are buying and selling our attention. The problem is that they have become unimaginably good at it, and we can't help ourselves. The phenomenon is being repeated over an uncountable number of fabulously successful businesses. All of these businesses are not just trying to give you what you want, they are trying to get your attention. If you use anything on the internet and think you're getting it for free, understand, if you aren't paying for it with money, you are paying for it with your attention. But your new mother needs your attention. The college does not want your attention to sell you something. It wants your attention so that you might flourish. So now you may be thinking, yes, I'm ready to pay attention. I want to survive and thrive. I want to run like a wildebeest. No, if you were paying attention, you would know that you must not run like the wildebeest. We need you to sit still and pay attention. So, let me clear up a few things about your attention while I have it. First, attention is a finite resource. You may be painfully aware of that at this moment. You only have so much attention. When you use your attention, you are using up your attention. No one can focus all day long. To replenish your attention, the brain requires regular rest and eventually sleep. This has nothing to do with whether you are smart or studious. This has to do with the fundamental structures and processes in every human brain. You can only spend so much attention in a day. Second, attention is not the same thing as time. Attention happens within time, but attention is not time. While sleeping, you might have 10 hours of time without any attention at all. But after a few minutes of intense focus, your attention may be exhausted. This is why we don't feel the same after 10 minutes of critical writing and 10 minutes of strolling through the park. And this is why you can use up your attention even before the time when you planned to spend it. So when you plan your studies, you must not ask, am I giving the Old Testament enough time? But rather, am I giving the Old Testament enough of my attention? Third, we like paying attention because we are rewarded for it. It is something like the way we respond to sugars and salty fats. Our brains fire in delight when we eat sugars and fats. And that has to do with the fact that calories have not always been easy to find, but they have always been essential to our survival. For most of human history, novel information was like calorie-rich food. If you passed a traveler on the road, you craved any news of the next town over, because who knows when you might have another chance to hear it. For most of human history, this craving made sense. But just as being an opportunistic omnivore in an ocean of cheap and easy calories isn't good for your waistline, too much cheap and easy mental stimulation isn't good for your brain. We don't have to work for calories now, but we are still wired to consume them as if this might be our last meal. Now we don't have to work for novel mental stimulation, but we hunger to devour it as if it were scarce. We crave it all. Bright lights, moving pixels, an emotional tug, whether it's of any value or not. This third observation means that we have much less control of our attention than we would like to believe. You cannot surround yourself with potato chips, ice cream, and soda, and then ask yourself why you aren't hankering for salad. We, dear students, are all drowning in intellectual ice cream. Now, maybe you're asking, hasn't distraction always been a problem? St. Augustine tells us about his friend Alypius, who was a student of law and who detested the cruel gladiatorial spectacles, which at that time were frequent in Rome. Quote, Alypius said, "If you drag my body to that place and sit me down there, do not imagine you can turn my mind and my eyes to those spectacles. I shall be as one not there, and so I shall overcome both you and the games." So he kept his eyes shut, and he forbade his mind to think about these fearful evils. Would that he had blocked his ears as well. A man fell in combat, a great roar from the entire crowd. He was overcome by curiosity. Supposing himself strong enough to despise whatever he saw and to conquer it, he opened his eyes. As soon as he saw the blood, he at once drank in savagery and did not turn away. His eyes were riveted. He imbibed madness. Without any awareness of what was happening to him, he found delight in the murderous contest and was inebriated by bloodthirsty pleasure. He was not now the person who had come in, but just one of the crowd which he had joined, and a true member of the group which had brought him. What should I add? He looked. He yelled. He was on fire. He took the madness home with him so that it urged him to return, not only with those by whom he had originally been drawn there, but even more to take others with him. So yes, distraction from our studies is not a new problem. Humans have always been wired for distraction, even before those wires extended directly from our brains and into our cell phones. But the problem is now of a vastly different scale. If you thought the Colosseum was colossal, note that Olypius had to be violently dragged to it. We have put the Colosseum in our pockets. Allow me to restate that, because I'm afraid the problem may be much worse than it sounds. You see, long before I sit down to my Homer, long before I open up my Plato, even though I have dutifully fought to protect those precious few hours of study by safeguarding my time, by blocking out my schedule, as often as not, I come to those sacred hours of study without a drop of attention to spare. It was all squandered on flashing lights. A YouTube short, a viral meme, another email, a careless moment. If you want to learn anything worth learning, you have to work with, not against, the basic biology of your brain. If you want to learn your Latin declensions, those Latin declensions need to be about the most exciting thing you do that day. You need your brain to say, okay, maybe this isn't pure cane sugar, but I can enjoy this. This is nourishing. You need to get hooked on your Latin declensions. But if instead you are sitting in class and itching for TikTok, you don't have a chance. You're cooked. My son wanted me to say that. Your mother wants your attention. We need every life-saving drop of that dopamine for your Aristotle and Euclid. So then what? If your new mother, the college, were Mother Nature herself, we might compel your attention by making you completely helpless for the next 4 years. Instead, we have a technology policy. By joining this community, you have committed to abide by it. By abiding by it, you are choosing to make yourself helpless. You will forego good things. When we fast from a good thing for a time, we learn to order and to govern ourselves. You students can learn to govern yourselves now, in this crucially formative time of your life, and you've already begun. What could have been better than 21 days in the Wyoming wilderness? That ought to get the Serengeti out of you. Go beyond our policy. On balance, social media is a waste of your time and worse of your attention. Let it go. If you aren't writing a paper, leave your laptop in your room. Don't check your email more than once a day. Agree to meet your friends without the group chat. Don't listen to music unless you're paying attention to it. Take breaks while you study, but when you take breaks, let your mind rest. Don't provoke it to a frenzy. Stay off the computer. Go for a walk. Sit quietly with a friend. Pray. Visit Christ in the Holy Sacrament. Freshmen, we are delighted that you have joined us. We look forward with joy to this new kinship. May God bless your time, and may God bless your attention at Wyoming Catholic College. Thank you.